Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cameo Launch Short Film Podcast with me, Nigel Morgan, and our resident video wizard, George Mole. Please forgive the cold open, but we needed to add a bit of an update before we get into the episode itself. One of the items that we discuss this episode is in relation to changing release dates for films at the cinema, particularly Christopher Nolan's upcoming film Tenet. That conversation was had in the context of the film's postponement from its original release date of the 17th of July to the 31st of July. But between recording the podcast and releasing the podcast, the release date has moved again to the 12th of August. So we felt it was necessary to just give a bit of an update in terms of context before we get into the episode. We did consider taking that bit of the episode out, but it was part of a wider conversation that we felt was worth leaving in, particularly regarding the relationship between filmmakers and studios and the circumstances in which certain cinemas are going to start reopening. So we do hope that you can forgive the outdated information that appears in that conversation, but as always, we are grateful that you are here to join us. So thank you for sticking with us, and we hope you're able to overlook that bit of outdated info. Here comes the episode. We hope you enjoy it. Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cameo Launch Short Film Podcast. We have two crazy out there short films for you this week, and we are desperate to get into these ones. They are hilarious, both in very, very different ways, and I think safe to say aimed at different audiences. What do you think, George?
Yeah, I'd say so, definitely. They're both very, very funny, but very different moods in the exact same way. I think I did just send a reasonable request to some friends and said, it's only 8 minutes, this is how I preface all short films. And I go, it's only 8 minutes and this one's funny, you'll like it. But I didn't maybe preface that the subject matter is a little bit, let's say, risque?
Risque is a good word. Risque is a good word. So the two films that we will be talking about are The Grey Matter from 2014, directed by Luke and Peter McCorbury and written by Peter McCorbury. And the second is A Reasonable Request from 2015, directed by Andrew Lurich and written by Andrew Lurich and Gabriel Miller. Both, as we mentioned before, are comedies, but as we said, very, very different types of comedy. But before we get into the reviews of those films, we're going to dive into a little bit of movie-related news. We've been anticipating the release of Christopher Nolan's new film, Tenet, starring John David Washington, and everyone has been holding their collective breath to see whether or not he or coronavirus will blink first, and it turns out that Warner Brothers stepped in and did the blinking for him. So that film has been pushed from the 17th of July, only 2 weeks, to the 31st of July, and instead, on the 17th of July, Warner Brothers will be re-releasing Inception in honor of its 10th anniversary. Cannot believe it's been 10 years since.
Wow.
But reports from different sources, including Screen Rant and IGN, have both reported that Warner Brothers wanted to push the film back even further than that, obviously being cautious about the uptake of cinema patrons amid the lockdown, even though it is being eased in some areas of the United States and being eased generally in England and the rest of the UK as well. But with a $200 million investment, they are, understandably, I'd say, cautious that they may not see as big a return on that $200 million now as they might a few months from now or maybe a year from now. Apparently, Christopher Nolan did provide a bit of pushback as to delaying the film further than 2 weeks. And in order to keep Christopher Nolan happy, both parties ultimately agreed to a release date of the 31st of July. So a couple of things with this one. First of all, Tenet was one of the films that just didn't move well. All the other films around it that were due to come out around that time started moving their movies back into August, September, October, November, many pushing them into 2021 and beyond. But Tenet was one of those few that just didn't move. And it could well be that that Christopher Nolan was one of the driving forces in that decision making, as he was definitely wanting the film to come out on its original release date. It reveals quite a bit in terms of the power dynamics there as well. It's ultimately down to the studios or the distributors as to when the films get released. The filmmakers generally don't have a say in that. But Christopher Nolan is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, money-making filmmakers for Warner Brothers. And, you know, it stands in stark contrast if we go back to December 2017, when Alex Garland's Annihilation was being released and the international distribution rights were sold to Netflix. So it didn't see a theatrical release anywhere outside of North America. And there was nothing he could do about it. Whereas, you know, you look at this situation and Christopher Nolan is getting Warner Brothers to stick to a release date or as close to that release date as possible that he wants. So some of the other movies that have moved amid the pandemic include Russell Crowe's upcoming film Unhinged, which has only moved from the 1st of July to the 10th. But that also means American audiences will have no new movies over the 4th of July weekend. That's also set to come out in the UK in July, although a firm date hasn't been set for that. Wonder Woman 1984 has now moved to the 2nd of October from its planned date in August, 14th of August. So previous release dates for this film included the 5th of June this year, 1st of November and 13th of December last year. Bill and Ted Face the Music has been moved up to the 14th of August in the US, but remains the 21st of August here in the UK. Godzilla vs. Kong has been pushed out of 2020 entirely and is now scheduled for the 21st of May 2021. Matrix 4 was scheduled for 21st of May 2021, has now been moved to the 1st of April 2022, presumably for Warner Brothers to avoid having two big ticket films out at the same time. And James Bond No Time to Die has moved up from the 25th of November to the 20th of November in the US, but remains on course, at least so far, for a release date of the 12th of November here in the UK. And the Oscars have also moved from the 28th of February 2021 to the 25th of April 2021. So, with all of that going on, with all of that uncertainty, and with cinemas themselves still in somewhat of a quandary as to when, certain cinemas at least, being in a bit of a quandary as to when they'll open and under what circumstances, is Warner Brothers right to be cautious about releasing Tenet now? Or is Christopher Nolan right in his assertion that Tenet could be the hit in the arm that cinemas and the hospitality industry generally needs? George, do you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, no, I do. I think Nolan's absolutely within his right to kind of get a little bit pissy about not, you know, getting his film out when he wants it. And I do agree with him. It's a big enough film. You think of Inception, you think of Interstellar. These are seat fillers, social distance seat fillers maybe, but they are massive. Everyone wants to go see Nolan. And you see Nolan on the big screen. I was hoping to finally see a Nolan film in IMAX this year, as I've probably mentioned and whined about several podcasts in a row. That would have got me back. Actually, okay. Well, I'll add 5 minutes of it now for you to edit out. Basically, I've really wanted to go to the bit. No, yeah, I really wanted to see this. I think it would fill a load of seats, and I do agree with him that it would be. It would have got a lot of people going. I would have gone if this was in the cinema. There's nothing else really at the moment I'm as bothered at, and everything else has been moved. So he's allowed to get annoyed about it. However, he can't get too annoyed because, I mean, we are in a national lockdown and in a pandemic. So at the end of the day, we have got to put health and safety first. And clearly at Warner Brothers, if they've looked at it and they've made this decision, they haven't made it lightly. The amount of money that goes into these films, their projections will tell them, we will do better, it will look better for us culturally, blah, 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 morally, if we do this 2 weeks later, and it's only 2 weeks. So if it's out in those 2 weeks, somewhere near me, and it's safe, I might even go. So you heard it here first.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, you know, going back to your point about projections, yes. I mean, as we said, they wanted to push it back further, allegedly wanted to push it back further. And, you know, you've got to be asking the question by kind of placating Christopher Nolan and compromising on the 31st of July release date, are they potentially leaving money on the table by doing that in order to make him happy? If in the sort of months to come. Yeah. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with lockdown. There may well be a second spike. There may be a second lockdown at some point if they move it out of this release date where it's likely to come out into a date where it could then find itself right in the middle of a second lockdown, then Nolan may well have ended up being right, at least from a business perspective. And also there's the potential point, because there are not many films coming out right now, Nolan may well be worried about missing the opportunity to play to a captive market while everybody else has moved out of this entire period of the year. This was a massive draw anyway, and it being the only one in the cinemas, it probably wouldn't have needed to obtain the kind of market share that it otherwise might have needed to, even amid social distancing measures being in place at cinemas. So from a commercial perspective, maybe that's where Nolan's head is. And maybe that's where some of the Warner's executives who agreed to the 31st, maybe they're thinking the same thing. It's kind of both a business consideration and a moral consideration when you're talking about health and safety as to whether or not you kind of roll the dice as to whether you go now. And I think one of the recent developments on that front is Cineworld putting out a notice about their planned reopening on the 10th of July and outlining the social distancing and safety measures that they'll be employing in order to keep patrons safe. If you want to see those, you can go to their website, cineworld.co.uk. We'll also put a link directly to that page in the episode notes of this podcast as well. But some of these measures include seating maps to make sure distancing is maintained while ensuring families and friends can sit together. Customers being allowed to bring their own snacks, as well as a selection of snacks being available at the cinema. Staggered film times to avoid audiences from different films exiting their auditoriums at the same time and running into each other. Hand sanitizers in customer and employee toilets. Plastic screens at the till, PPE for employees, contactless payments, and many more. So if you want to have a look at the full range of measures they're putting in place, then, as I said, follow the link in our notes or go to cineworld.co.uk to find out what they're doing. But with those types of measures in place, George, how safe would you feel going back to the cinema under those circumstances?
It's an interesting one. Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. I'm very happy to have a few people beta test it for a few weeks, and then I'll go watch Tenet, hopefully, on maybe a quieter screening, which is a shame because, as you know, I like a full cinema. I like the full vibe of an opening night, but I want to see it on a big screen, and I also want it to be safe. But it's interesting something you said there about how they're going to stagger the film times. We're actually, and I never thought I'd say this, I'm glad there isn't a Marvel movie out this summer. It's a good thing Black Widow didn't come out, because at the end of those films, there's always mid-credit sequence, sometimes an end-credit sequence. People still get up as soon as it fades to black. Normally, maybe they're like, I'm beating the traffic, I'll watch it on YouTube in an awful pirate copy when I get home. Maybe their son's going to read it out to them in the back of the car. I don't know who these people are. I don't associate with these people. When the credits roll, you watch it out of respect, and then you see the mid-credit sequence, and then hopefully an end-credit sequence as well, although they stopped doing them recently, which is a whole other complaint. Now, because of those people leaving at certain times, if they've got a Marvel film on, they're going to have to shut down the whole cinema for about half an hour after it ends, because people stay, people leave, people hang about, and they'll all be leaving at random times. That's such a good point. Hopefully, the only other person from another screen you'd bump into is like in a queue for the toilet. But that's another fear of mine. What if there's social distancing queues for the toilet, and you think you've got the Run Pee app, and you've just seen the best time for you to go wee in a film, and you've ran, and now you've got a queue for ages, and now you've missed 5 minutes of dialogue? You can't lean over to your friend and ask them to catch you up. Have you ever sat down next to your friend and gone, what did I miss? And they've gone, ah, nothing. And you've looked it up online, and you've missed crucial plot details that I couldn't live in a world.
Because your friend is like, I'm not going to explain this to you.
No, I'm not going to lean over for 5 minutes.
I'm not going to miss more of the movie explaining the movie you missed because you didn't go to the toilet before you came. So yeah, totally.
So yeah, those are my fears. Is if the cinema experience itself is actually impacted, then again, it goes back to the same question: is it worth it yet? Is it worth it yet?
Yeah, without a real kind of overview as to where we actually stand, it remains a gamble on your own part as to whether or not you go for it. So we'll see. Moving on to our short film reviews. First up is The Grey Matter. This is a very unique kind of horror comedy and focuses on an office worker named Simon, played by Ebon Moss-Bachrach, who you may have seen in season one of the Punisher series on Netflix, who wakes up in an alley covered in blood with a hole in the back of his head. And in the aftermath of this discovery, starts noticing various things are not quite right, both in the world around him and in himself. In the midst of all of that, he also begins to attract the attention of his office crush, Emily, played by Lucy Walters. But he can't shake the feeling that something very weird is afoot. As I mentioned, this is a very unique kind of horror comedy in that we are following the developing romantic relationship of two people in an office amid what potentially could be the outbreak of a zombie apocalypse.
A very, very slow outbreak of a zombie apocalypse, but zombies should be slow, so I'm fine with that, to be fair.
Exactly. The tone of this film is very unsettling, and that tone is struck straight from the beginning in terms of the way it's lit, the way it's framed, and in no small part due to the musical score by Ron Pertain. And the score is quite interesting in the way it's used, in that it's very ominous, but in scenes where you would expect the intended tone to be quite upbeat. For example, in the scene where Simon first starts to attract Emily's attention, the musical cues in that are really, really ominous. Even though, you know, in a standard romance or romantic comedy type film, you'd have like a really upbeat, happy, bouncy kind of tune. So it's very subverting in that way. And then you've got the unsettling nature of what's going on balanced with the humour of what's going on, just couched in the utter obliviousness of Simon's work buddy, played by Carter Roy, who just wastes no time at all in bringing in the laughs. Basically that guy who's all talk, but he is very, very good in that role and is crucial in sort of maintaining that balance between the horror elements and the comedy elements of the film. Additionally, just the little clues that they drop into the dialogue as well just kind of clue you in as to where they're actually going, acting both as foreshadowing and also being so on the nose that they end up adding to the humour as well. Lines like where Carter Roy's character is talking to Simon as he's gushing over Emily, and he's basically telling him that he doesn't have a chance with a girl like that, using words like, she'll eat you alive, don't waste your brain cells. And even when Emily herself is responding to Simon and his advances, she uses lines like, I don't bite.
And yeah,
it's things like that. It's basically telegraphing to you exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But because it's doing it in a very knowing way, it actually comes across as being quite funny while simultaneously adding tension to it. So, George, yeah, did you have any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, no, I thought it was brilliant to touch on that last point, especially. It's almost like they're winking at the audience every single time, because it's very clear that, as you say, the tone is set straight away, but little lines like that, working stiff, sort of loads of little quotes like this, stiff meaning dead, obviously, and things like that. So many little things come up, which I thought was very enjoyable. Like, I'm dead tired and stuff like that. Just all the little things, like touches someone's hand. Oh, you're really cold. And they really hold on it. And there's even like a light musical note for a second. And then they move on again. Like, oh, here's some little smatterings of us knowing we're being silly. But you're all there for the whole ride of it. It doesn't ever make you roll your eyes. I'm actually waiting for every single thing to be like, are they going to definitely do what I think they're going to do? And it's well worth watching the whole film to find out whether they do or not. But it's very clever, all the framing. You're deliberately not seeing the backs of people's heads to the point where you want to see the back of the head, even though you have seen it at the start and before you even click play on Vimeo. The still shows you the back of the head, and then when you watch it, all you want to do is see it, and you're deliberately not seeing it to the point where you start to notice it and you want to see it even more, which I think really, really works. I thought the music was great. It was a really good score. There was a piano score for the actual horror sort of thriller moments, which was quite chilling. I thought it was really nice. And when Emily first walks past, there's those like orchestral notes as she wanders past, and then as the colleague says, look, you're never going to get a chance there, she then walks past again and you hear the notes again, and then he quickly cuts it out again. It's just funny, like a little, it becomes like a leitmotif within seconds, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. Yeah, I thought it was really good, and I recommend it. Out of my skull is another line I've written down here that I clearly enjoyed.
Out of my skull, yeah.
And with no spoilers, but the final shot just left me going, what? And I was very happy and enjoyed the credits immensely.
Yeah, that's 100% a recommendation from us. It will make you squirm in parts, but it's charming in its own way. Yeah, a definite good use of about 20 minutes. Moving on to the next film, we have A Reasonable Request. So, George, you want to take us through this one?
Yes, I do. A Reasonable Request is a short from 2015, directed by Andrew Lorich, and its brief synopsis for you would be: a desperate son reconnects with his estranged father to ask an unspeakable favour that will change their lives forever. Now, that is a very good IMDb little description that gives you sort of the basics of what's going on without spoiling anything. I have written down 50 quotes from this film that had me creasing very, very, very loudly this morning. I even had to apologise to my flatmate and see if I'd woken him up with my laughter, but I hadn't, because we're doing early starts now, according to Nigel. Early start podcast, why not? So I have to have a whole coffee in me before I can start ranting and raving about Star Wars and other things. But it also means when I'm watching some of the short films in the morning and not being prepared like the night before, I'm laughing very, very loudly at absolutely hilarious short films. So I don't want to spoil anything other than watch this short film. It's 8 minutes. It's absolutely brilliant. And the writers are the same as the director, Andrew Lorich, also co-written with Gabriel Miller. The stars are Stephen Ellis and John Ennis. I read that wrong at first and thought that maybe they were real father and dad, because they do have great chemistry and it seems believable, even though it's mentioned at the very start that they haven't really spoken that much in the last few years. And surprisingly touching, even though that's kind of a bit of a double entendre accidentally. I didn't even plan that.
Oh, God. I'm surprised you didn't plan that. That's a very George line.
I know.
I 100% agree in terms of their chemistry. The setup itself is very, very simple. It's all takes place in over the course of one scene, in one location, and it's two guys talking.
Yeah.
But somehow they manage to draw you in, to hold your attention, to hook you into their dynamic and the circumstances of their estrangement. And on a dime, it just turns into the most insane comedy concept that I think I've come across in recent years.
Yes.
And somehow it works.
Yeah.
Somehow it works. If somebody were to pitch this to me, I would be like, absolutely not.
Yeah, that is absolutely a funny, that is a funny little sketch. Maybe animate it and put it on your comedy channel, on your B YouTube channel, your side YouTube channel, maybe. But no, yeah.
But you sit down and you watch it and it just works. And I think that in no small part is obviously down to the writers, but also to the performance of your actors there as well. I think they do a fantastic job in it. Nailing comedy is very hard.
Yes.
Very, very hard. And the thing about it is that you can't seem to be trying too hard if you're going to do it right as well.
Yes.
So they do very well to sell the premise of what is actually happening, and also to keep you on board with their sort of journey towards some kind of reconciliation as well, and where that ends up. So yeah, again, another recommendation on that front. So that is A Reasonable Request, which is also, I believe, available on Amazon Prime Video as well, if you are so inclined.
Well, I wish I'd watched it there. No, Vimeo is fine. I will say, if I'm going to compare it to two other films to get people to watch this, it's like My Dinner with Andre meets Indecent Proposal. That's as much as we'll give away. We recommend you watch it. It's very, very funny.
That is actually a very good description, actually. But yes, the links to the reviews are in the episode notes of this podcast. So click away and you can have a read through, and we'll also link through to the films themselves as well, so you can watch them both. Both films highly recommended, and in total will take you about half an hour, I'd say, to get through them both.
Just under.
So yes, so that's A Reasonable Request and The Grey Matter. So that's our review section, and that's our episode for this week. As always, guys, please do stay in touch. You can get in touch on the socials at Cameo Launch on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also subscribe to our newsletter by going to our website, cameolaunch.com. And if you are a filmmaker hoping to have your film reviewed and included in this podcast, then by all means, please do submit your film to the Cameo Launch Showcase via our page on Film Freeway. So that's filmfreeway.com/Cameo Launch Showcase. So thanks once again for joining us this week. Keep your ear to the ground for our next episode. All of you stay safe, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.